We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you again. A letter from Aberystwyth begins, "Every time I listen to your program, I think I must write and thank you all for the pleasure you give me. But as I am 82, perhaps I am senile." No, madam, but thank you all the same. On behalf of John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Wow. The opening round this week takes us on a number of journeys. John, whither first? Journey. Well,
I must say I don't recognise it. Is it? It sounds a bit busy, like Smetana.
No, it's much earlier.
Much earlier.
The Gentleman's Opus 113.
Is it Scotland?
No.
Oh, it wouldn't be. No,
I have to tell you, and your name, I'm afraid, will not resound throughout the annals of the Beethoven fan club. It's Beethoven's incidental music to the ruins of Athens.
Knocked about a bit.
Yes, as I said, the place is in a pretty poor state. Composed in 1811. I would have accepted Vienna, but Athens is really the answer. Frank, here's someone who has journeyed far, as he himself says. I want to know, please, who interrupts him?
I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru, but there's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring, whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London.
Frank, who interrupted Anthony Hope?
It's the most award-winning flop of all time.
That's it, yes.
It's Sweeney Todd.
That's right, in Stephen Sondheim's musical Sweeney Todd. Quite right. Ian, time for a sea journey. Ian, who ought, in your personal view, to have a protruding breast?
In my personal view.
Yeah, your personal view.
Yes. Well, I think I'll keep my personal thoughts to myself and say that I suggest that it might be a British tar.
Would you like confirmation in song? Here it is.
His head should stand,
and his throat should growl,
his hair should twirl,
and his face should scowl,
his eyes should flash,
and his breast broad should
burn, this should be his dorsal belly.
And his breast protrude a British tar.
It's a very...
Yes, that's right. Pinafore it was. Dennis, for you, a journey to where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, but not quite in the company one expects. It sounds a bit like Bing, but who was it?
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for. And the gold of her hair, and the blue of her eyes, like a halo tenderly.
Dennis.
It's kind of fantasy of Frank's
clues
to sing like that, but I don't think it's him. Yeah.
Have a number
because
of clues ready for you.
It is an old record, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You could hear the surface here, so it would be more or less contemporary.
Yes, with early Bing.
With early Bing. Now, who would that be? Is it the other chap that they were building? Is it Russ Columbo?
Russ Columbo is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Applause for that. Yes, that's right. Yes. They were.
No, well, he's such an interesting character, isn't he? Because that he was built up by another film studio as a rival to Paramount's Bing Crosby, but he met a very tragic death, actually, but through an accident.
Yes.
And it was always interesting to see what would have happened to him, because he had everything that Crosby had, in a sense. Yeah. He was very good-looking.
Better looks. Really.
Better looks, yes, really,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He made several films, 1929 to 34, died in a gun accident.
That's
in
right.
In 1934. Ross Colombo, the name, yes.
You can get on without good looks, don't you? I find.
I think it's kept me out of the big money, actually.
Yeah.
Going round again with still more journeys. John, the journey that begins in Brynhilda's cave, at whose home does it end and via which river?
Well, the River Rhine.
Yes, Siegfried's journey down the Rhine ends at the hall of the... unlikely word.
Oh, the Gibichons.
Gibichons, that's right.
Oh,
yes. Frank, who sailed from Cork to New York and found life very much the same as in Donegal?
There's been 100,000 of them.
Yeah. Very true.
I mean, today, as I say, for Cockney, I think I'll... I can't particularise.
A wanderer from...
Ireland.
Erin's. A wanderer from Erin's Isle. It seems like only yesterday, dear old Donegal. Yes.
Emerald and grass.
Ian, on your way to the Blue Islands, which stretches of water will you pass?
I suppose those are the Blue Islands from the Skerries to the Luce. We heather honey taste upon each name, which would be...
Bye.
You go by Tummel and Loch Rannoch and Loch Harbour I will go.
Yes, yes, that's right. Road to the Isles. Well, on with the journeys. Dennis, where does Route 66 begin and end?
Nearly 5,000... Is it nearly 5,000? Well, it's from Chicago to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Luton Airport, as Eric Morecambe always calls L.A.
winds from Chicago to
nearly
L.A.
Nearly 5,000 miles
all the way. One group saying 2,000 miles, but I think it's more. Yes, Route 66. We've got the answer. Yeah. Winds from Chicago to L.A. There's no disputing that the most valuable thing on this stage is the piano, on which I shall now play a medley, asking John and Frank to name jointly the first four pieces alluded to, and Ian and Dennis the second four pieces. John, the first.
A rather gingerly played Hammerklavier opening, opus 106.
I was not warm it up yet. Yes, the Hammerklavier, sonata by Beethoven.
What was the second one? I can't...
De-da-da-de-da-dum.
Well, could it be Wagner?
No, it couldn't be Wagner.
It's very difficult sometimes, you know, when you translate these things onto the piano.
I know,
very
indeed,
difficult
to recognize. It's orchestral, as you guessed. Does anybody in the second row happen to know what that was? Yes, it comes... Somebody in the first row, second row, there.
I've got Tchaikovsky. I've got it, in fact, up against the first tune.
Well, that was an error. Comes from Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony in E minor, but you didn't get it. Then come... Did you get that?
I didn't catch that one.
Oh, yes, I got that. I'm sorry, I thought that was number four. No, Invitation to the Dance.
Yes, thank Weber. You. Weber and...
Well, then the fourth one, I put down five, wasn't it? New World Symphony.
I'd love to know what your other one was.
I've got By the Waterfall.
No, that's miles that's ahead. Right. One and a half they've got there. Right, Ian and Dennis...
By a waterfall from
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, I'm calling you. Oh, yes. And then? Yeah.
Then a bit of Manhattan.
Yep. And then, Ian?
Somewhere a Voice is
yes.
Calling.
And then
A Feel in the Night. And A Feel and in the feel Night. The nearness of you.
yes. It's, as you well know, it's And To Feel in the Night. The nearness of you.
Dennis had all four of them.
I learnt with interest the other day that when Wagner visited London in 1877, he and Mrs. Wagner went on the Thames steamer from Greenwich to Charing Cross. And while they were on the steamer, Wagner said to his wife, "Well, what? I'll tell you later. Let's find out what the panel thinks he might have said." The question then is, John, what did Wagner say to Mrs. Wagner on the Thames steamer from Greenwich to Charing Cross in 1877?
Gott in Himmel, es ist furchtbar kalt heute.
Right. That'll do for a start, yes. Frank, can you improve on that information in any way?
Liebe sehr kalt. Those white bit we had at Greenwich, long time no see.
All right, yes. Okay. Ian, is your answer in German, English, or broken both?
I was going to say, well, my dear, it's been a very nice trip. We've seen Wapping and Waterloo. But I must say, I think my ride at the Valkyrie is more interesting.
So do I. Dennis, Wagner to Mrs. Wagner.
He said in German, "That woman over there has got the same name as you." Because what had happened was a Cockney had gone over to his wife and said, "Cozy, Ma."
He said to her, "This is Alberich's dream come true. Activity, work, steam and fog." That's what he said.
What a fool.
Sounds more like a painting by Turner, but that's what the man said.
Considering who her father... Hmm? Considering who her father was, she might have said, "Oh, I've got a list to port."
Got a little list to port, yes. This next round involves music and some literary comments about it, or arising out of it. John. "I felt my hair rising," wrote Berlioz, "my teeth clenching with all their might, every muscle contracted, and in the end, when the theme of the finale appeared, cold tears of anguish and terror painfully forced their way through my eyelids." Strong words, John, for this musical moment. I'm going to ask you, which musical moment is it?
Finale of the string quartet in C-sharp minor, opus 131.
Beethoven.
Which yes. Lenny Bernstein now plays on a full string orchestra. Have you heard it?
No.
Really rather remarkable.
Could be marvellous, couldn't it? Magnificent.
Very powerful.
Yes. Gosh, yes.
I have a sort of nightmare that you get your papers mixed up and give me John's question.
No, you'll know yours. Frank, the music. This is a report from the Athenaeum in 1856. "The music is trashy. Mademoiselle Piccolomini cannot do justice to the music, such as it is. Hence it follows that the opera and the lady can only establish themselves in proportion as Londoners rejoice in a prurient story prettily acted." Here's a clue as to which prurient story.
Qui dal cor ti cancello, di Provenzo al mare.
Frank. Well, which story?
Oh, Traviata.
Traviata, la Traviata.
Yes. You didn't hear John whisper,
no,
did you?
I saw him saying something.
Oh,
Well, so?
Traviata.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I guess it may have come from him, yes. Ian, a composer writes, I have made the most of his fine low notes. It is true the aria goes in the same tempo as By the Prophet's Beard Thus Swear I, but it goes in fast notes, and as his anger goes on increasing, the man is in such a violent fit of rage that he doesn't know himself, and so the music must no longer know itself. Which opera, Ian?
The aria where somebody gets in a real fit of temper that I can think of is in Seraglio, yeah. the Osmin.
That's right. Führer. Yes, that's right. It's the Osmin role.
Which, a part that makes a lot of people like myself who haven't got a reliable bottom D rather disappointed, because the rest of it is singable, but one has got to hold on a bottom D for about half an hour at one point, and that rules it out.
Or thereabouts.
Ian, perhaps you could do the same thing McCormack did once when he made his debut in Italy. He suddenly realised, he was singing Gioconda, and he suddenly realised he wasn't going to be able to sing the top note. So he decided to act it out. And he knew the orchestra was playing loud, so he opened his mouth as hard as he could go, and took a marvellous stance, and he got encored.
Yes, that's a sweet story. It was, in fact, Mozart writing to his father about Entführung. Dennis, try this on your own, perhaps, with a hint first. Dennis, this is from an 1823 diary. A baroness who lives here is a good pianist. She plays so-and-so's lovely melodies with great pleasure until she comes upon a fault in the composition. She then leaps from her seat, holds the sheet of music several times close to her eyes, begins to gnash her teeth, with which she then tears up the music. Again and again she returns to his compositions until a new lapse makes her repeat the scene. Whose music, Dennis?
Well, I mean, the veriest idiot knows that tune, of course. It's the Lone Ranger.
Well worth tearing up his music with your teeth.
This is a performing dog, or is it a lady we're talking?
No, it's a lady, Baroness Hügel.
Oh, that Baroness.
It comes from Grillparzer's diary.
I think you finally have got your papers mixed up, Steve.
You know who wrote Brillium,
it's William Tell Overture.
By...
Uh-huh.
Folks, it's going to happen.
Rossini.
Yes. Yes, right. Rossini is correct. This next round concerns bell-like noises, clangs, dings and bangs, not to mention clongs.
I'm good at those.
But a specific song can be identified by the precise word or words. John, clang, clang, clang went what?
The trolley.
Yes, in other words, da, ba, 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 the trolley song.
Zoom, zoom, zoom went to something.
Phew, yes. Frank, ting-a-ling-a-ling-a. Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a. Ah, Bella Margherita.
Yes.
Ah, beautiful country.
Yes, that's right. Oh. That's right, Ma Bella Margherita.
Did you say penalty if we sing?
No, no, I didn't.
What a pity.
That's the bride.
What a pity, Steve.
Yes, over to you. A ting-a-ling. What's that from?
A ting-a-ling.
A ting-a-ling.
A ting-a-ling. The bells of St. Trinian's.
No, no.
A ting-a-ling.
Yes,
you're all alone by the telephone.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, that's right. All of them. And then, Dennis, yours is a wartime song. Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
The bells of hell go ting-a-ling-a-ling for you.
Not for me. That's right. Ting-a-ling. Bells of hell is the song. Right, end of scoring, start of songs of own choice. Four slightly odd songs, either by title or by topic. First of them is Frank's Tondaleo, written in 1929 with music, rather early for him, I thought, by Noel Gay. Tondaleo.
Steve, hang on a bit. This requires passion and pre-war vowel sounds.
Nevertheless,
to bring
sing
up
it.
The beauty of it.
Tone!
Tell me, Tondaleo, wild jungle flower. Tell me, Tondaleo, what is your path? Oh, there I may resist you, break your magic spell. You or fate, draw me back again, back to days of gladness, for you are the back to days of madness. What do I come? Oh, there I know I hate you, hating as I do. Tom DeLeo, I love you. I failed the top D.
Yes, you got the vowel sounds, though, beautifully, didn't you?
Yes.
John, Le Chapelier, with a word of explanation first.
Yeah, it should really be Le Chapelier Fou, because it's about the Mad Hatter. It comes from a little French poem after Alice au Pays des Merveilles.
Le chapelier s'étonne de constater qu'à son montre retarde de trois jours, bien qu'il ait eu soin de la graisser toujours avec du beurre de première qualité. Mais il a laissé tomber des miettes de pain dans le rouage, et la vague plonge sa montre dans le terre. Ça ne la fera pas avancer davantage.
Hoagy Carmichael didn't write Dennis's song, but he did record it. It's about a girl and a tape measure and a piece of chalk.
All right.
Yeah, just a tiddly.
Yes, daddy, da-da-da-da. Okay.
Oh, gee, but have you ever seen a girl so big and fat that when you go to hug her, you don't know where you're at? You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away and chalk a mark to see where you began one day. I was a-huggin' and a-chalkin' and a-chalkin' and a-huggin' away when I met another fella with the chalk in his hand coming around the other way with Ian Wallace coming around the other way.
I said they were slightly odd songs, and they are.
How do you follow that?
Yeah.
You never heard it.
No. You follow it with Ian, the one-eyed Riley.
Yes.
Okay.
As I was sitting by the fire talking to old Riley's daughter, suddenly a thought came into me head. I'd like to marry old Riley's daughter. Idi-yay, idi-yay, idi-yay to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 boom goes Riley on his old bass drum. I got me a ring and a parson too, found me a billet in the married quarter, settled me down to a peaceful life, as happy as a king with old Riley's daughter. Idi-yay, idi-yay, idi-yay to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 boom goes Riley on his old bass drum. Suddenly a footstep on the stair. Who should it be but the one-eyed Riley with two pistols in his hand, looking for the man that had married his daughter. Idi-yay, idi-yay, idi-yay to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 boom goes Riley on his old bass drum. I took old Riley by the hair, rammed his head in a bucket of water, fired his pistols into the air, a jolly sight quicker than I wooed his daughter. Idi-yay, idi-yay to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 boom goes Riley on his old bass drum. Boom, 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 boom goes Riley on his old bass drum.
Never heard that version.
End of show, time for revelation of final score. A victory for Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.